You know, as we continue our discussions about our climate, our earth, our lives, and as we look at that, we also focus on water. We remember, I hope we're remembering, that water that we can safely drink is coming in shorter and shorter supply. And I do mean that for real, ladies and gentlemen. All around the world, water that is safe to drink, cook with, etc., is coming under shorter and shorter supply. We're having less and less and less of it. And again, remember now, although we do indeed have a lot of water, our seas, our oceans, etc., we do have a lot of water. The problem is we don't have a lot of water that is safe to drink for various reasons. Ocean water, sea water is not safe to drink. Just like a lot of lake water is not safe to drink. And you have to make sure that if you're going to be out camping, hiking, etc., and you go ahead and get to a watering hole, you have something that will filter the water for you. And you talk with the experts about all the steps necessary to make that water safe to drink. But we have less and less drinkable, some people like to use the word potable, water in the world, including in America the Beautiful. Various parts of the world, though, over various parts of the world, people, experts are wrestling with how to solve the problem of too little drinking water. So we're taking a look at something that BBC is helping us get a handle on. There is a part of the world, and you may find it to be, oh man, are you serious? They're really doing that over there? There's a greenhouse, has tiny leaves of wild rocket, iceberg lettuce, pak choi poke through the door, through the dirt, each as small as a fingernail. Planters hold calla lilies and dragon fruit, sea samphire and gaberas, bright strawberries, dot buttery green leaves, and there are row after row of vines draped over wires, leaves as big as dinner plates, snack cucumbers, fragrant basil, and nine varieties of tomatoes. Now, no, you're thinking, hey, that sounds pretty good. I mean, so far, so good. I don't hear anything particularly suspicious or problematic about that. Keep listening. Outside of the greenhouse, a camel grazes. Pale pink sand extends to the Rocky Mountains in the distance, not Rocky Mountain High that we like to climb here in America, mountains that are very, very rocky. Pale pink sand extending to those mountains. Only the hardiest tufts of green thrust up through the ground. The problem? There is no water. And since there is no water, there are also no trees. This is a spot that is in the Jordanian desert, just 1 kilometer from the Israeli border and 15 kilometers inland of the Red Sea. It may be one of the most surprising places on earth to start, get this, a farm. It's also one that in some ways makes perfect sense. I was telling you, you're going to say, what? They're doing that over there? Yes, they are. By 2050, the Food and Agricultural Organization, also known as the FAO, the Food and Agricultural Organization, the FAO, has said that food production needs to be increased by 50%. In order to match the projected increase in population. And that won't be easy. The challenge is to produce this amount of food within the boundaries of this planet. with a limited number of acres of arable land, while knowing that a lot of the land and the soil is getting degraded. The land is being degraded. The soil is being degraded. Because remember now, this isn't just a water issue. It is also a soil issue, a land issue, partly because the quality of the soil matters when it comes to feeding our plants, our animals, our chickens, etc. But not only that, but the amount of land that's available to be used for all of that. Well, that's an issue. We're facing other global challenges. Climate change being a significant one. And in many countries, including Jordan, of course, as I mentioned, a lack of water. And to make matters even worse, each of these issues impacts the other. Currently, food production consumes about 70% of global fresh water consumption. To produce the food that we eat, we have to use about 70% of the fresh water, water that can be consumed around the world. And in addition to that, in addition to food production consuming 70% of global fresh water, food production also emits 25% of greenhouse gases. Simply upping how much food we're producing without changing how it's done will make emissions and water usage even worse. Meanwhile, as climate change and water shortages get more severe, the more difficult it will be to produce food with the same methods that we use today. What do you think? I mean, we are in a bit of trouble. And when I say we, don't just think the rest of the world. That's why I keep saying, including America. We are in for some really hard times. Can you imagine? We have all of this science out here, all of these facts available to all of us, including our business leaders and our political leaders. And we still have political leaders who absolutely refuse to change the way we do things so that we can have a chance of at least trying to improve our quality of life in the future. Not just those of us here now. You know, we have some politicians who love to talk about looking out for our children and our grandchildren. And what kind of world will we leave them? And those very same ones who like to talk that talk are the ones who refuse to change the way we handle, treat our climate, our earth, our water, our air.